Okay, this is my interview with Sinn Féin's candidate for Upper Ban, Catherine Seely. Councillor Catherine Seely, sorry, the current Deputy Lord Mayor of Craigavon. Catherine, just first off, we're here at the Sinn Féin Ardèche. What have you made of the event so far?
So far, it's been excellent. There's a great atmosphere in Derry. I think the themes have been very important too. Reconciliation, peace building, moving forward. And I think that those are the key messages that have been delivered so far. So a positive Ardèche so far.
Okay, now you've obviously got a challenge coming up, obviously on May 7th. You're standing in Upper Ban, which isn't a national seat, but it is a marginal seat. Do you have any expectation going out now how you think you're going to do? Do you think that you can get a big improvement in Sinn Féin's vote?
I hope so. We're working extremely hard on our strategy at the minute. There's a huge team behind me and they're raring and ready to go. The campaign's been positive so far. We have been in touch with non-voters. We have been making links with young people and we have been out and about around the constituency. So I'm not approaching this election with the view that I can't win it. I do think that there is a chance that we can do it. And I think it would be a positive thing for Upper Ban to have Anastas take the seat for the first time ever. We took one of the higher offices in council this year, and I worked very closely and have worked very closely for the past year with the UUP mayor, Colm Cusker, and we have went to events that maybe a nationalist deputy mayor would never have gone to. He has come to things that a unionist mayor would never have gone to as well, and I think that's really felt throughout the borough, and through engagement with community leaders in the borough, that's the sentiment that they're echoing back to us. So I think it would be positive if we had a nationalist Republican returned in the Westminster election.
Now, obviously, a big thing about this is that political anoraks like me will say, well, this isn't really about Westminster, this is about Dolores Kelly's Assembly seat, really, and that you would be a very strong candidate to run along with the Education Minister, John O'Dowd. Would the Assembly be somewhere you'd be particularly interested in going to at some point in the future?
Well, that's up to the party locally. They'll select the candidate in Upper Ban, and they'll select both candidates in Upper Ban, and they'll do that probably around the summer, between summer and Christmas next year. So I have to wait and see who they choose, who they select. Is it a possibility? It is a possibility. I'd be honoured to be selected by the Upper Ban members of Sinn Féin. But it is entirely up to them, and we need to get through Westminster first because there's a chance we could return me as an MP.
Okay. Right. I just want to talk to you a wee bit about... Now, obviously, you first came to prominence. I don't want to dwell too much on it because you've talked about it time and time and time again. You came to prominence through what happened to you when you were working at Boys Model School, right? How has that... I'm interested as to how that shaped you going forward as a politician. So has there been a real difference? Has that changed the way you approach politics, that event happening to you?
It's always in the back of my mind, and I'm a year on, and it's still something I'm always thinking about, and it's strange to think that I'm always thinking about it. It's always there. I think that it fired me out into frontline politics at a very early stage. I mean, I'm a member of Sinn Féin for 11 years, but I was very much in the background for most of those 11 years.
You kind of, I mean, when you wrote your blog about it, you kind of had like a Batman kind of persona about it, didn't you? The way you were describing it, you know, by day you were a teacher, and then as soon as you left, you were out.
Yeah, well, I think it's important that by day I was a teacher and only a teacher. I was going into school to teach. There was nothing political about it. I wasn't thinking about politics. And yes, when I got out in the evening then, I was a political activist. But I left both of them and kept both of them very separate, as I still do because I'm still a teacher. But has it changed me? Has it shaped me? I think so. I think as a result of what happened and seeing those young people stick up for me, come out in support of me, even though that was a huge risk for them, and that was a huge risk in the communities that they live in, I think it made me realise that the future generation do not want to be part and parcel of what happened in the past. They are much more interested in their future, the quality of their future. They're much more interested in bread and butter issues. And so that's kind of shaped my politics in the sense that going forward, one of the key things that I want to do is achieve reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I mean that.
Define that though. How would you, as a Sinn Féin, if you did become the MP, and you are the Deputy Mayor of Craigavon at the moment, how would you go about that?
You take risks. You do things that people ordinarily would think that you may not do. In my time as Deputy Mayor, I have went to events in unionist communities at a time when people maybe thought that I wouldn't or couldn't. And I think if we are going to move it forward, we have to take risks. We have to open ourselves up to the other community. We have to gain a bigger understanding of the other side, and we have to reach out and bring them in. And I think that's crucially important in the process of reconciliation. But we also need to talk about what happened in the past. We need to do it in an open way. We need to have those conversations with one another. They'll not be nice. They'll be uncomfortable. But until we have those conversations, and until we can all say sorry to one another, and that's important. We all must say sorry to one another.
And when you say that, you mean that from both sides. You mean from Unionist and National and Republican.
But you can't have one side saying sorry and the other not returning it. Okay. We all have to say sorry to one another. That's what happens when people do wrong. When you get into a situation of war, the only way to move forward and to build a stable peace, because we have peace, but it's not stable or as stable as we would like. The only way is to sit down, have a conversation, say sorry, and path the way forward together.
Okay. I want to ask you a wee bit about, because you talk about taking risks and going forward and taking things forward. You got into, I don't want to say a spot of bother, but you did have a little bit of a blowback against the decision not to take part in some commemoration. Now, first, I just want to just be fair to you, and can you explain your rationale? I know you have done that in a blog, but can you just, for our listeners, explain that your rationale behind that?
Sorry. Yeah, I think it's important to note that when the invite came my way, I set out with the full idea of attending that commemoration. And I think that's positive, that whenever I got the invite, my first instinct was, I am going to go to that. And I wanted to go to it. I think that's probably important. I felt that it would be important for relations in the borough, because Craigavon is very divided. And for a month I pursued the Royal British Legion, and I've detailed this in my blog. And it was very hard to get a meeting with the Lurgan branch, very easy with the Portadown branch. But unfortunately, they met me, they were brilliant, but unfortunately they aren't in control of the Lurgan branch, which was where I was due to attend. And I met the Lurgan branch for 9 minutes, and I was... You know, I just didn't get from that meeting what I'd hoped to get. And remembrance is something that we should all be part of, not one side of the community over another. It shouldn't be just for one side of the community. Remembrance has to be for us all. And in my blog, I talked about the fact that my great-uncle fought and died in the war, that my grandfather was an RAF ground troop. So this is nothing about being anti any of the remembrance services that went on. This was about a reluctance to open it up to nationalists, to Republicans. And until we do open it up to nationalists and Republicans, unfortunately, Remembrance Days are going to continue to be something that not everybody can take part in. And and moving forward, I would like to see that we can all take part in it. But my decision was not one I took easily. There was lost sleep over it. It'll probably be the one thing I look back on and think, could I have done anything different? Could I have done anything more? But I did reach out.
And looking back now, do you regret making that decision now? Or do you feel like you just had no choice?
I regret that we couldn't create a situation whereby I could go. I think that's what I regret. I don't regret my decision because it was well thought out and I thought about it for quite some time. But I definitely regret that we couldn't have got into a situation where I, as a Nationalist Republican Deputy Mayor, could have attended that remembrance event.
Yeah. Okay, so I just want to ask you, before you go, so you get elected as an MP, your priorities, what is it you particularly want to do? I mean, why should someone, I mean, for example, if you're Sinn Féin, you're abstentionist, you're not going to take your seat. I mean, why should someone in Upper Ban place their confidence in you?
Well, I stand on that ticket that I'm not going to take my seat, and I don't think sitting in the House of Commons is really going to have a huge, massive impact anyway. But, and you'll have heard it before, all our MPs are hardworking. They are at the front, they are lobbied, and they work hard for the people they represent, and that's exactly what I would do. What's important to me, there's so much important to me, reconciliation, achieving reconciliation, equality, gender for people of working class background, unionist, nationalist, improving their quality of life, education. I think there's still a number of pupils, particularly in the north, whose education is not at the high quality it should be, who then can't have the future, the life that they are entitled to. So they're probably the issues that I would want to take forward. And also gender equality, getting more people and susceptible and open to women's involvement in politics, and getting them in decision-making roles as well.
Okay. Catherine Seeley, thank you so much for your time.